Takes me a little bit to get going here. It's not that I'm old. It's more a matter of ancientness. You know, I stepped on that. Oh, it fell. I don't think I'll need that, do you? No, I'm just gonna cut it off. I'm glad to be here this morning. I hope you are too. I wanted to say some things to you first about this Mars Hill Academy that Willie has founded and which is in operation, and in this year will be having fifth grade students. And what they do with that academy is each year they add a grade, and they plan to continue doing that up until the 12th grade, so that students are receiving a secular education just like they were going to the school system here in our country, but they're also receiving hours of Christian instruction. Several people have told us already that they plan to participate in that program. The way you participate is that you are going to be paying the tuition of one student. That is a cost of $60 per quarter, or $240 per year. And we, of course, in supporting the work of Willie, but also in this work, we are going to, here in the Blanco Church, be channeling those funds over to Willie. And there will probably be people from other congregations sending money in for that same purpose. And this is a work that we really think is going to be great, because whenever you participate in this, you will be investing in the future of Africa. You will be investing in the future of the Lord's church in that nation. I cannot doubt that there will be many people that will come forth as Christians when they graduate from that school, and that their influence will, and thus your influence, will be there for years to come. When they graduate and when they become credits to our Lord Jesus Christ, you will too share in that credit. So, if you will, I think to me this is worth a little bit of sacrifice to participate in this program. And all you have to do now is, the 1st of January begins the first quarter of next year. So if you will submit your funds in the regular contribution, but be sure and earmark your check for the Mars Hill Academy. And Charlie has promised that he will pick that up, and he's going to separate those funds for transfer to Africa, to Willie. And Willie has promised that he will assign you to an individual student, and that you will be supporting that student, and that you will get a picture of that student. And I'm hopeful that even that we'll be able to get them even closer by communicating with cards and letters and on holidays and things like that. So I ask you to consider that, and all you have to do to join it is just get your earmarked money in by the 1st of January and you're in. You see, we'll send our funds the first quarter of the month, of the year. I wanted to compliment you today. I wanted to talk to a group of people that are a loving group of people. I'm appreciative of the fact that you care. You care for each other. here we are, a small congregation of the Lord's people, but we love each other. And we care what happens to each other. When someone gets ill, we get out there to help those people in any way that we can. Not only do we love each other, we're united. It's seldom that you go to a congregation where a fuss of some kind is not going on, you know. But I haven't found that fuss here in Blanco, and I know that we have people here that are kind-hearted and loving-hearted, and they're patient with each other, and I'm so appreciative that you are that way. And also, I think I wanted to mention your generosity. You know, you don't get to stand and talk to people very often that have raised as much as $10,000 in 1 year for a program of spreading the Word of God throughout the world. But when you speak here, you get that privilege. And then the next year, they just jumped out and did another $6,000. And they send a bunch of money every year to the preaching of the gospel, and they don't overlook the homes for children that are not privileged, children that suffer problems of living in broken homes and wind up in that kind of care. And you're that kind of people. You do that. And you ought to be proud of yourselves as I'm proud of you for what you do. The elders are proud of you. Now, then, having said that, you knew there's another side of this coin, I'm sure. I am going to speak to you a little bit about this morning about a problem that the elders are concerned with and that we think we need to pass on to you. But I don't want you to take it as a rebuke, because it's not a rebuke. And I don't want you to think that we're fussing at you, because we're not really doing that. What I would like for you to think is to think about and to take into consideration the things that I'm saying here, and if you agree with those things that I say, then to act upon them. Now, the problem that I'm talking about is the problem specifically of our attendance on Sunday night and Wednesday nights, and to some, their attendance on Sunday mornings. Why didn't the Lord say to you in His Word, you've got to be there on Sunday morning and you've got to be there on Sunday night, and when you have Wednesday night, you better be there? Why didn't He say something like that? Well, there's a good answer to that. The Lord wants you, but He wants you willingly. He wants you to want to do for Him everything that you can do. He wants you to be for Him everything that you can be. And coming together as His children, as Christians in our communities today, is something that can help you achieve that goal, to be all that you can be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's for this reason that I speak to you this morning. It's for this reason that the elders are concerned, because our evening service, our Wednesday service, numbers have declined in recent years and continue to decline. Sometimes we may not have over 14 or 15 people here on Sunday nights. And yet, I think the best lessons, the most build-up lessons that we have from John are those Sunday night lessons, when he uses the screen and it gets so clear and so interesting to those of us who do come and hear that. I want to talk to you a little bit about some things that might cause our lack of attendance. I don't know whether you've thought about this very much or not, but these are things that I jotted down that came to me off the top of my head. One, right at the very top, I put down health. Health causes people not to attend. And you know, that's often as rightly so that that's the case, isn't it? Sometimes we're just too sick to get out. Sometimes we have ailments that prevent us from getting out. One of the greatest ailments that we have in this congregation is age. You know, we're all getting a little bit older, and that's beginning to show up more and more. But now then, I just want to ask you to think about this now and be sure, and as you think about it, to ask yourself and you consider your situation, and do you ever use that as just an excuse? Does your health become a barrier sometimes to your attendance? You think about that, you make the decision. If I offended any one of you this morning, I am going to really be sorry. And I know that Lynn and Stephen feel the same way. We talked about this. We don't want to make you mad. We love you. We want to attract you. We want to get you out to be the best that you can be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another barrier to attendance can be our business. Have you ever had so much business that you couldn't take care of the Lord's business? That can happen to you, you know. Sometimes it's justified that happens, but let's not ever let it become a practice or an excuse. You remember that parable that Jesus spoke about sending out the invitation, and they all with one accord begin to make excuse, that tells us. One says, I have bought a piece of land, I've got to go prove it. Another one said, I bought 5 oxen and I must needs go see them. And the other guy, he really had an excuse. He said, I married a wife, and I can't come. And you know, they had reasonable business, necessary business, those kind of excuses that were made there, all relating to business in some way or another. I think about that wife that caused her husband to mess up that invitation because he had married her. I wonder how she felt about that. Well, we're just asking you to think. We're trying to get your cooperation. We love you. We want you to think about these things because they are important. They're important to your development as a Christian. They're important to your spiritual life. They're important to your being in the blessings of our Lord. The strength, the force in your life that you get from being with other Christians is of incalculable value. Sometimes we get involved in recreation. Boy, that's a good one. I got to sit down on that one. Sometimes our recreation gets in the way of our service to the Lord. You know, right now we're in the middle of hunting season, aren't we? Would you ever want to be caught out in a deer blind when you should have been in the Lord's business? Would it be a good idea for you to be down on a fishing boat when the Lord happened to return that day? Now, it's not that you shouldn't ever go fishing, or that you shouldn't ever go hunting, or that you shouldn't ever go to ball games and soccer games. That's not it at all. Those things are good. And in their proper place. That's the point, isn't it? Sometimes we get them, I was the biggest hunter you ever met. I've been a lot of ways, and that was one of them. A big hunter, and I love to hunt deer. And I have spent many a day enjoying life in the deer blind. And yet, the thing is, you don't want to get those kind of things out of place. You don't want them to dominate you. You don't want to get them where they take away from your responsibilities to the Lord. I know you agree with me as I'm sitting here talking to you this morning about this. I know that you can see the reasonableness of such a position that I'm taking for you in this lesson today. And I ask you to think about it. I ask you to not only to think about it, but to agree and to take action about these matters. You know something else I wrote down here? You remember that passage that says in Ephesians, don't be weary in well-doing? Don't you think that maybe sometimes that's what happens to us? That we just get weary in well-doing. We've been in the church, I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old. And that is over 70 years in the church in my case. And some of you have been there the same length of years in your case. And you have been in attendance at the services. You've heard countless sermons. You've sat in through countless lessons. You've heard them. Sometimes we just get a little tired, don't we? Well, we need to think about that, and we need to relight the flame of enthusiasm. We need to not grow weary, because the blessed promise of that statement is, in due season, when the time comes, when it is right, you will reap. The rewards are there, they will be there for you at the right and the proper time. So think about it. And I hope that you will agree with me this morning as I mention these things. Sometimes unrestrained behavior gets in our way. Sometimes we slip off into the practice of the devil's ways in our life. And we let that be a deterrent to our service to the Lord. We all know the fallacy of that kind of thinking. And I just wanted to mention it as a possible way in which people sometimes act and sometimes causes them to fall away and not attend the services of the Lord. There are some things that are good in our lives that come from the fact that we are regular attendants. And I'd like to mention a couple of them. One is knowledge. What do you know that you do not learn of the Lord through the church? And what do you know that most of us, you do not learn sitting in a pew? Not very much. Lisa and I, we had a fun game when we're trying to pep up our Wednesday night service, not just to make it a recreational, but to make it a happy learning experience. And we were playing this game, 20 questions that you may know about. And I was amazed at the depth of knowledge, because I was asking people up to 20 questions about a topic. And some of the folks that were there came up with answers like, is Elisha's axe that floated? And that's a kind of an obscure fact. And they were able, within 20 questions, to pinpoint the purple that Lydia sold and the donkey that Jesus rode. You know, things that we don't talk about commonly, but which Christians who have been in the service of the Lord and in attendance at those services, those Christians know these things, and they are able to bring them forth on occasions. So it's good for you. It's good for your knowledge. And number two, it is great for your spiritual life. You don't need to be running around thinking about things that are not spiritual. Jesus was getting at that when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness." All these things, everything else takes care of its place when you get on the Lord's side and you live on the Lord's side and you think about the Lord's thing. Everything else comes into place. Problems in life are solved. If you're sick unto death, even that is no defeat to the child of God. You see, and we achieve these things in certain ways. We achieve that one way that we achieve it, not the only way, but one way that we achieve it is through attendance at the services of the church when fellow Christians get together. Now, this morning I want to just give you some scriptures that will make you realize that I'm not talking out of left field at all. You know about Hebrews 10:25, we quote that one often because it says, "Don't forget to assemble." You know about that passage. I think what he was talking about there, if you look at Hebrews, he was telling them there's a day of judgment coming on Jerusalem. Jesus predicted that in Matthew 24 and in Luke. And he said there's a day of judgment coming on Jerusalem, and don't forget to get together, to assemble yourself together when you see that day coming. And the nearer it gets, the more you exhort each other. You see, because assembly has a role of exhortation. Assembly has a way of building up people, of making them stronger in the Lord. It'll make you stronger. And that's why we are so concerned that we are falling off in some respects. And then there is 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prophesied. Remember that? We were talking about the collection for the saints that were suffering in Jerusalem. And the Corinthians sent aid to those people. And then there is passages like Acts 20 and verse 7, where we find the Christians assembling on the first day of the week. And when they got there, remember what it said, Paul preached to them. And he continued his speech until midnight. You know that? They assembled. They got together. And you can read about, like 1 Corinthians 14, it tells you how to act when you're assembled together. And there are other passages of Scripture that refer to coming together, being together. Acts, the second chapter, said they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And now all of this, though, I couldn't find a single command that said, you better be there. The command to do it. And the reason that it is not there is because it is a voluntary service on your part. The Lord wants your best, but he wants it freely and willingly. And if it's that willingness is there, then the rest, the assembly, the Christian living, the purity, the spirituality, all of that will come right along with it. So, that's my message this morning. And I praise you for your goodness, and I ask for your consideration. I'm not asking you to respond physically to this invitation that we're giving this morning. I'm asking you to think about it. And I think your response will show up in our increased attendance at our evening and our Wednesday night services and the other services that we have, like Friday morning devotionals. We have the once a month of the Tuesday group that gets together. And I think your willingness to serve will show up in those kind of things. So thank you for your attention to this. We have an invitation song. If there's some way that we can help you, please come forward while we sing.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness." Say.